reality there.
I need to give a round of applause, but rather than clap my hands off into this microphone and causing really irritating popping sounds in your headphones, just visualize multiple hands clapping, people standing, giving an ovation, because I will tell you this. We just saw the reality TV finale of the year. Disregard how the soup chose to make fun of it. Because it's easy to make fun of. I get it. It's funny. But from an absolute challenge aspect, whodunit delivered the finale of finales? Eric Pierce of Game Show News Net, alongside Bill Hammond. This is your reality rant, whodunit finale. Chris Kratz is the killer witch. Oh, excuse me. I need to pat myself on the back a little bit. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. All you people out there in the interwebs who kept on saying, it's Lindsay. I never went for that. Go back. Listen to these podcasts. It was Chris or it was Melina, and then once Melina made that damn crazy, I'm by myself and I'm going to go after you turn, it's Chris. Bill, would you like to say something?
Perfecto. Raw.
Would you like to say a little more?
I mean, Chris was my number two and became my number one when Gino got offed.
Violating the box. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I didn't even think of it that way. But I realized late in the game that Chris had to be the killer. And I even started to suspect this even before Gino was eliminated. I was like, this is a reality show. We have to keep the pretty people in front of the camera as long as humanly possible. So the pageant girl is going to be the one guaranteed to be in the show the entire season.
Mm-hmm. And if anything, I kept on wondering. I'm like, well, wait, everyone thinks Lindsay's the killer, but Lindsay is always picking Chris. And Lindsay keeps on sticking around. There has to be some kind of a bonus point attached when you make that final accusation and you're picking the right person every time. There's a reason she stays. There's a reason that her story was better that one week when they're like, wait, you're playing both sides if you got the information. No, she didn't get extra information that week. She just used the information to make herself equal and she picked the right person.
Yep.
So, hey, congratulations to her. She put up a much better game than I think anyone thought she could.
And at least she got to go out like Kevin Bacon in the original Friday the 13th. So.
And the word is that she only lost by 44 seconds.
Yep.
That's insane.
Now I am with you in that I loved the final challenge.
Final challenge was fantastic.
Even though the idea of them being zombies was completely and utterly asinine.
It was. But you know what? We talked about this before, that we loved the degree of camp that was put into this show, especially with Giles the Butler. Especially with Giles. Yes, it was a little odd seeing all the cast come back as zombies and basically reanimating. I don't know if they were going for a little Walking Dead there. But if they wanted to go a little crazy, this was the way to do it.
And that's where I use the word asinine, because the camp value of the show was one thing, the conceit of killing people off. Mm-hmm. But they basically they filmed this show, you know, one death per day, essentially. So it took about a week. It took about 2 weeks to film this show, all considered. Yet, you know, someone like Dante, who was out first, had to wear the makeup for the morgue scene, take it off, and then you get it put back on 8 days later.
Yes,
for the purposes of this idiotic zombie thing, and again. There's camp value in the idea of, hey, we're killing people off, literally, air quotes, you know, and the butler did it and all that other fun stuff. But it's like a choose-your-own-adventure novel. You can play along with it a little bit. But then when you just basically abandon all prey to say, oh, by the way, they're zombies, it's like that. Now you've gone from something that's campy but still could happen to the complete and utter nonsensical. So that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. The challenge itself was brilliant.
If anything, I was a little disappointed that everyone kept botching that logic puzzle.
Yeah, it was like, one, though, they were botching the logic puzzle, and two, that Cam even thought for a second of saying, yeah, somehow Giles is the killer.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I mean...
Unless I found a firm fact saying he was the killer, there's no way I'm going to say the butler did it.
And the thing is, like, that was the instinct challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the answer was in the fine print of the contract. So it wasn't instinct. It was
reading comprehension.
It was reading. It was like there was one of the only flaws of that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're on a show called Whodunit. Yet every episode is actually a Howdunit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you said, Lindsay might have gotten a bonus point for picking Chris every week on the quiz and then in the dramatization thereof.
Sure.
But the show was not about figuring out who the killer was. It was figuring out...
Let's talk about this, because there is a way you could have, in essence, done it. If you think about it, and this gets completely random and bass-ackwards, but let's make it really convoluted and confuse the audience, okay? Whodunit is a game where you have to have some kind of catalyst to start it. Thus, we had our cheerleader getting killed on night one.
Yep.
What if Whodunit started with, obviously, a dead body, and you have to figure out who did it? The first person is technically a dummy, so it could be the cheerleader who was the first murderer. Mm. Once the round is over and people have hopefully figured out who it is, the new loser gets tapped during the night, brought into production, said, oh, by the way, you lost. You were the weakest on that challenge. You're the next murderer. Everyone's going to find you out in the next episode, and then you get arrested or killed or whatever. So you could, in essence, transfer it to being whodunit. Like I said, it's convoluted. Mm-hmm. It could be done. You just are hoping that the production never comes to you, says you perform the worst, and thus you're going to be the murderer for the next plot.
I would do it this way. I think it's a little bit easier to pull off.
Okay.
The killer knows who they are, but they're still they don't know how each murder was accomplished, and they're playing along like everybody else. They can even get scared cards that just can't be eliminated.
Right.
Even the producer of the show put this in his little blog that he didn't know that Chris was the killer until about episode 6.
Which means he needs to pay more attention, but okay.
Well, no, I mean, that's when the rest of the crew told him, like, because he intentionally didn't want to know. Like, he wanted to try to figure it out, and he had no idea it was Chris. But they make a point each episode of saying who did the best on the quiz.
Yes.
The one who impressed the killer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the reward for that is just getting the first spare card.
Automatically spared. You don't even get the card.
Yeah. I was like, that's the only reward. The reward should be you impress the killer. So instead of a spare card or a scare card, your card will give you a clue to the killer's identity.
Would be nice.
And then in this final challenge, the instinct puzzle should be name the killer. Not whether or not Giles did it. Name the killer. And this is the thing. The way they did that challenge, this is the other way I'd fix that last challenge. The way they did it was, once you completed your puzzle, all the right answers lit up blue, and the ones that were wrong stayed black. And then you had to go keep doing it until you got it right.
Mm-hmm.
I would have changed it so that no matter what, whether you're right or wrong, the instinct square lights up as correct and sends you to a room based on your answer. If you're right, you're sent to the killer's room. If you're wrong, you're sent to the robot knight with the arrow through the throat.
Yep. I would have loved that. I know the game doesn't want to risk this, but I would have loved if this game had the potential for two losers.
Exactly.
Okay for having two winners. Even if they both got it right, first person there gets the money. Second,
exactly.
Just finds out.
And believe me, I would have actually loved this if there was a chance, if somehow both Lindsay and Cam were wrong.
Then Chris should get the money.
And kill them both and let Chris walk off scot-free. In post-production, film a death scene for Giles. Like bump him off too, just for the hell of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And the reason I'm saying, like these are the ways to improve the show, I can't believe I'm saying this, the show might get renewed.
Crazy concept. They're
already in pre-production. They're already in casting right now. Which even though there's been no official word of renewal,
mm-hmm.
this was enough of a good summer ratings hit for ABC that they're at least moving forward a little bit. And this happens with a lot of reality shows. So I mean, don't read too much into it.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of shows that begin casting for season two before season one even finishes airing, and then they get canceled anyway. But the last two knockoff shows that ABC did, Expedition Impossible and Glass House, we knew before the show ended they weren't going to get a second season. either the concept or the execution was that flawed, or the ratings just didn't come in, that we knew that those shows were done. Who Done It actually may have gotten enough of a good vibe to get a second shot at it. And again, that's so there's like these are the improvements to make it for season two, assuming it happens.
Now, let's just point out part of the danger, though. People for a long time actually looked at Lindsay as being one of the bigger idiots on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, she wasn't an idiot.
I think that was just her mannerisms.
For a while, a lot of people thought that she was just the killer, so she could act that way. She wasn't.
No, she
really had one of the more intelligent and analytical casts that you will ever see in reality TV on the show. Just top mm-hmm. to bottom, the vast majority had a really good head on their shoulders, which frankly was required for a lot of the riddles that were thrown at these people.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Don was a complete oaf, you know, and Ronnie with his
he
trained monkey.
He wasn't a complete oaf, but just compared to the rest of the cast, the little mistakes he made cost him. Ronnie was outstanding.
Except for the trained monkey.
Sure, that was a little much. He got a little crazy there. Cam fully deserved to be a winner, as much as people might have looked at him as being a bit of a dick.
He
decided to invoke a strategy. He decided to stonewall certain people out. Now, why he never really considered going after Chris or Lindsay himself might have been a little questionable, but hey, that was a decision he made. He decided, I'm going to roll with this.
My main issue with Cam's game, again, I don't mind the strategy. I don't mind having an alliance. I don't even mind stonewalling people. It's the fact that he got so self-righteous when people called him out on it. And somehow, like, tried to turn around and blame them. It's like, why didn't you tell me anything? Why didn't you share any information? Like, who do you think you are that you're entitled to information? Like, that's the dick response. You know, believe me, he played by far the best game, and he deserved to win. Except for the fact that he won without ever correctly guessing the killer.
Mm-hmm. Which is a fundamental problem, which, again, your solution fixes. If that last one is, okay, you've got all the rest right, now mm-hmm. pick the killer.
Yep.
If it's A, go there. If it's B, go there. And this is your game.
And again, if you were smart enough to be the best on the quiz like 3-4 times, you'll have several clues to the killer's identity. And the way I imagine, like they'll all be generic clues. Like the very first week, I would just like with the very first question on every single mole quiz, the very first clue you get is the gender. I think that's enough of information that you can at least help yourself out on future quizzes, and you can even share that information if you so choose.
Or you know what? You can even do something as far as like when they went into the parlor to get that code if you forgot the 613.
Yeah.
You could have had another clue, much like the killer's actual lair, being like, if you are not sure, you can go here. It's going to mm-hmm. take you time. It may cost you the money. But there are more clues in this room for you to look around and figure it out. And you can eliminate everybody if you spent time in that room. Mm-hmm. They could have set that up.
I mean, think about the way a strategy like Cam's would work out if they were able to get clues to the killer's identity. Like say, that very first week, you get the clue that the killer is female.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cam doesn't align with Lindsay and Chris necessarily because he has to suspect every female. He probably works harder to maintain that alliance with Cam and Gina that he had with Ulysses and Gina that he had on the first day. But or flip side of that, he may be thinking to himself, well, since I know the killer's a woman, let me freeze out all the men. Or let me freeze out all the women until only one of them's left. So then I know who the killer is.
Right.
There's so many ways that it could affect a strategy for the long-term game rather than just the daily how done it. But yeah, it's like if this show gets a second season, and honestly, I hope it does, and I hope it's better acted because I'm sorry that final scene with Chris and the poetry.
Yeah,
that was
got made fun of. But you know what? Here's what they need to do, frankly: remove the acting. If you kill off people, there are going to be the, oh, shit. You know,
exactly.
Just let it be that. They did what to him? You know, I will react to the gore and the electrocutions and the launching into the pool, that's enough to get a genuine reaction out of people.
Yeah,
we, God, I don't want to lose because I don't want to know what they want to do to me.
We didn't need the groaners every week from Giles. I mean, camp value, yes, but they tried to edit to make it look like, you know, these were like too soon jokes, you know? Whereas everybody's like, really, Giles, that's the joke they fed you? You know, mm-hmm. that was what they were really reacting to. And one more thing, again, if they get a season two, this is how it should begin. Get the new cast into the location, whether it's Rue Manor or whatever, you know, get the cast together and let them know that they know that they're on Whodunit now. They know the camp value, they know everything like that. And even bring Giles back if you want to. I don't know why you would, but if you want to bring him back. And then when they're ready to begin the game, and even after they have the first victim, Chris comes back and you kill Chris.
I would bring Chris back. I might bring... This is a weird game where you actually could bring back multiple cast members.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, I would probably bring back both Chris and Cam.
Kill them both.
And just leave people wondering, are one of them the killer? They may both be genuine players this time. One of them may be the killer. Chris might be the killer again. I would love to leave that mystery in there.
Yep. I mean, that was like the one thing that was missing from the finale. Once the game's over, once Chris is arrested by the producers dressed as cops, because yes, the producers were dressed as cops, that's why they told him that Chris was the killer, because he had to prepare for his scene. I can't believe they didn't do this. Once she's arrested, once they drive off, out comes Giles, out comes Cam with his briefcase full of prop money, shakes hands with the zombies, they get into the town car, they drive off, why didn't that car explode? I mean, that would have been the whodunit equivalent of a solitary finale.
It would have, yes.
I was like, just give that hint that somehow that the killer got one last one in just for the hell of it, even if she gets arrested, you know?
Imagine if the car exploded, and then they go back to Chris's car, and the cop takes off the hat, and it's actually Giles. And that was like a fake Giles.
Or they do like a Kaiser Soze thing at the end where they just let her out and she walks off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or even better, have her just get out of the police car, and have her still be in handcuffs, but there's blood on the handcuffs and you can tell that she kind of like garroted the cops from the back seat, you know.
So many options, so many crazy options, but you know.
Again, this is why I give it a second season.
And that's the beauty of an intelligent show. There's so much you can do when you have an intelligent show with intelligent players. The biggest thing that they need to do is create clues for the at-home audience to figure out who the killer is.
Yeah,
we were wondering if we would get a mole-like recap of the things you should have seen, as obscure as they may have been. Mm-hmm. We barely got anything.
And really, it was just the personal stories of the three finalists, not their anything relating to clues to the killer.
Clues to the home audience to tell.
Yeah, those were just like innuendos from Giles, like pointing out that Chris never got a scared card. But again, she could have gotten one. It wasn't that the killer couldn't get one, just that they couldn't be eliminated. And the other thing is, like, the producer, he said in interviews, he still has about like 9 more deaths in mind that he wanted to do but didn't get to do this time around, including a helicopter death.
Fun times. Should he be more concerned about a producer who dreams of ways to kill people?
Well, honestly, I wish Alison Groner would think of ways to kill people, but that's neither here nor there. But it means we got a producer who's very creative. And again, if they pick the show up again, given the success it had, I mean, yes, it's a summer show, but given the success it had, imagine what they can do with a bigger budget next year.
Could be fun. Could be a lot of fun. And I cross my fingers and hope that we get that opportunity, because it is a fresh, new, intelligent reality show. And again, we need more of this.
Mm-hmm.
So until we get more whodunit or something brand new, I'm always up for something new. You know the drill, folks. Make sure that you keep in touch with us on Twitter. That's @RealityOnRant on Twitter. You can like us on Facebook.
that Facebook page needs a little bit of love. And, you know, when you're not liking us on Facebook, just keep on listening to the podcast. Download us on iTunes, because we'll be right here for you. So, Eric Pierce from Games for Newsnet, Bill Hammond, and this reality rant is...
If there's a season two, I pray that they cast someone named Cindy Lou.
Cindy Lou, whodunit?